Well, it crossed my mind this morning, as it does every time we have these texts in the lectionary, preach a sermon on the commands of Mary, because there is only one, do what Jesus says. But that'd be a pretty short sermon, which isn't all bad, but I do think there's a few more things we can say about our texts today. And as anyone who's been following along as I've been preaching over the last few years, you know perfectly well that if spiritual gifts show up, I'm going to talk about them. That's just the way it is. It's something that has always connected with me, or at least it feels like it's always connected with me. And as I was thinking about things this week, as I was looking at what our texts have to say about spiritual gifts, I found myself asking the question that the sermon title is, whose gifts? It's one of those tricky things when you talk about a gift. Who is it? Or whose is it? To whom does it belong? And gifts are, they're probably still at the top of all of our minds, what with Christmas, but with me, even more so with Eli, my first grandson, currently only grandchild's birthday being December 24th. We had a birthday party there. And then Sam, my first granddaughter, turning one on January 13th. We just had a party for her yesterday. Went up to Capel, which is very nice. And the other side of that, some of her other relatives have a place out there, and it was very lovely. And there's gifts, of course. Cakes being squashed and all of the good things that happen with one-year-olds when they're going to have a birthday and when they're celebrating with those they love. But I was thinking about gifts. Who gives them and who gets them? And when we're talking about spiritual gifts, in some ways the answers are very straightforward and it's pretty obvious. A spiritual gift, well, who gives it? The Holy Spirit gives it. That's why it's called a spiritual gift. And who gets it? Well, us. But what does that mean? Or can it mean more than that? In the time with Emmy, in the time of the children, as I was saying, if you give somebody a gift or somebody gives you a gift, yes, it's yours, but it's still theirs in a way. We still talk about, at least most of us still talk about the gifts that we've received from somebody else as if there's still a connection with that person somehow. And it's been a source of plot tension in movies and plays and stories for a long time. There are some gifts you have to bring out when the giver comes to visit you so they know you still have it. And if that's the case, is it really a gift at all? Well, that's perhaps a topic for another discussion, another day. But I was thinking about gifts. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And gives us all gifts. One of the great things about this passage, and this is just one of the places where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about it in Romans, Ephesians. Peter talks about it in one of his letters. In verse 7, it says, "Now to each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given." We all have spiritual gifts. We may only have one. The chances are probably pretty good we have more than one. And they come from the Holy Spirit, and they're given to us. But unlike a lot of gifts, they don't stop with us. Spiritual gifts are different than a lot of other things. If somebody gives you a gift, gives you a box of chocolates, for example, if you eat them all yourself, that's just fine. I mean, sharing is always nice and to be encouraged, but if somebody gives you something that you then use or use up or whatever it might be, no one is going to look at you as if there's something wrong with you. They gave you a gift, you made use of the gift. If it was an edible one, or some of the very best kinds of gifts, as far as I'm concerned, you ate it and that was good. Spiritual gifts are a little bit different because spiritual gifts are given to us, as that verse 7 continues, for the common good. So we're back, in a sense, to whose gift is this? Well, the Holy Spirit gives the gift in the first place, gives it to us, to each of us. But then we have a responsibility to make use of the gift, and in a very real sense, to give it again. Because we're given spiritual gifts not just to make us feel better about ourselves. They're not a self-esteem boost. They're not given to us that we might be more comfortable, necessarily. They're given to us for the common good. We receive spiritual gifts so that we might then exercise them. And a spiritual gift isn't exercised in a vacuum. Spiritual gifts are exercised in a community of faith. Now we have to be careful here. Not every spiritual gift is inner-oriented. The spiritual gift of evangelism, for example, and evangelism in this case, we're thinking of that spiritual gift that allows you to talk about, to discuss, to explain the reality and the value and the wonders of a relationship with God through Jesus to someone who doesn't have that relationship yet. If that is your gift, exercising it on me is a waste of time. I won't be offended, but I don't need it. I already have that relationship with God through Jesus. I may be able to continue to work on it, and it can always be better, but I don't need to be introduced that way. So if your spiritual gift is evangelism, your gift is actually directed outside the community of faith to bring people into the community of faith. There are some gifts that seem to be much more solitary, or at least more... they're not just about you, but they're primarily, it seems, about you. The gift of faith is one of these, or at least it can be. And people with the gift of faith are those who have more than an intellectual assent to the truths of Scripture. They have a deep understanding of it in a way that the rest of us don't. And you can exercise that gift of faith on an ongoing basis to empower your own prayer life. But you can also, and this is where it gets a little bit beyond just you, you can also exercise that gift of faith just by the way you live your life in front of me and encourage me in my faith, because that's not a gift I have. Spiritual gifts are given that we, fallen human beings, might complete the body of Christ on earth. And that's not just this community of faith, this congregation. It's the larger picture of all of us, all believers, who in a very real sense are the new incarnation. Not the same as Jesus. Let's make sure we get that straight. It's not that incarnation where Jesus came to be fully human and fully divine at the same time. But when Jesus left, he left his body behind in a different way. And that body is us, made up of all believers. And we talk about local congregations, it's the local body of Christ, connected to the larger body of Christ. And all together, all of these gifts work together to complete that work, to perfect what Jesus began. But these gifts only work if we actually exercise them. So whose gift is it? Well, when we look at it, it begins with the Holy Spirit. It comes to us, so it was the Holy Spirit's gift, given to us, so now it's our gift. But when we exercise it, it actually becomes a gift again to all of us. Spiritual gifts can be kind of tricky. And I think it's worth spending at least a moment to just talk just a little bit about the difference between a spiritual gift and, well, what we might just say are our abilities. And the example that's most frequently used, or at least that I use most frequently, is the difference between entertaining and hospitality. They are quite similar, but there's some fundamental differences as well. Entertaining, that experience of inviting people into your home or to wherever it might be, that you might be together and do things, frequently eating, sometimes it's playing games, whatever it might be. People with a gift of entertaining put these on very well. But one of the things about a gift of entertaining, or about an opportunity where entertainment is happening, is that when things go wrong, then sometimes the whole experience goes wrong. If you're somebody who's inviting a bunch of people into your home for a party and it turns out that your oven breaks and suddenly you don't have anything to feed them, it's not quite as successful. And generally speaking, entertaining is where you set up things in at least a slightly different way. Often you know, this is when the good china comes out, this is when the good silver comes out. And hospitality, while often it has those sorts of things, doesn't require any of them. And one of the things about people with the gift of hospitality, that when the oven breaks, it doesn't make any difference. You leave not disappointed, as you might perhaps, if a party doesn't go off well. Someone with the gift of hospitality, when you leave, you feel better. Because hospitality is about inviting people into the warmth of your place and into the warmth of your relationship with God and your value for them and how much you love them and how much you want people to feel comfortable and to feel good. And that happens no matter what. Entertaining takes work, and so does hospitality sometimes, but hospitality can happen with a box of crackers and a communal jar of peanut butter, as I've once heard it said. And you leave encouraged and warmed from the inside out, because it's a spiritual thing that depends not on our ability to plan well, but on the Holy Spirit making use of your willingness to reach out to people and welcome them. I love the gift of hospitality. My mother had it. My mother-in-law does have it. Heather has it. I've been surrounded by hospitality my entire life. It took me a long time to realize there was a difference between that and entertaining, because my mother did both. If they want to draw a distinction between someone who has the gift of hospitality entertaining, because her parties always went off pretty well. But that's the difference. That's what we're talking about. Spiritual gifts aren't just the sum of the training you've had, of the experience that you've gained through putting that training into action. Spiritual gifts are energized by the Holy Spirit, so they do more than that. People with the gift of teaching teach in a way that people learn. People who simply teach provide information, and frequently people learn. Doesn't sound like much of a difference, but it's actually a fairly profound one. People with the gift of faith, as I said before, have this deep inner sense of the reality of God in ways that the rest of us don't, even though we still believe. People with the gift of giving are able to accomplish more through their generosity. The gifts of giving aren't just involving money, but they bring out more of what is given all the time. The rest of us still give. Many of us give generously, but it's not that same kind of thing. Spiritual gifts are more than what we can accomplish in our own strength, our own abilities. Not that we can't do lots and lots of things, because we can. But for the building of the body of Christ on earth, human cleverness, human wisdom, human experience and training are insufficient. God knew that. He said, "So I'm going to give you spiritual gifts." And we get these gifts so that we might indeed build this body. The notion of a spiritual gift directed only at yourself is kind of crazy. And a spiritual gift that is focused solely on a local community of believers, a local congregation, is also, I think, unusual. I don't want to say it's flawed, because I'm sure there are cases where that can be done, but for the most part, spiritual gifts always begin with us, move out to the next level of whatever they might be, but then keep going. The effects of spiritual gifts are just extraordinary. And for many people, you find it easy to discount your spiritual gifts, because it's, especially after a long period of using them and understanding them, they're just part of who you are, and you think, well, everybody's like this. But we're not. We're not like you. We don't have that. People with gifts of helping and compassion and those kinds of gifts in particular tend to discount those gifts. But we absolutely have to have them. And when you exercise your spiritual gift of helping so the church just works better, you might think that's just something that anybody can do, or you might think that it's a small thing. But people who exercise those gifts of helping and compassion, those gifts of faith, those things that aren't in front of people the same way some other gifts are, you allow the rest of us to do what we do and to exercise our spiritual gift. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure all of you have run across at least one person with that spiritual gift of compassion, of caring for you in a way that is just more than other people. When you're around them, and when they talk to you, and when they say things to you, it has a connection with you in a way that's beyond what other people do. And it's not that they say different words, there's just something else. And that something else is the Holy Spirit empowering that gift. And one of the things that I've found is that after that kind of interaction, I'm a better person wherever I go. At least for a while. It doesn't last forever. That exercise of the spiritual gift directed just to me affects not just me, but it affects everybody I interact with for however long. Being around people with the gift of compassion makes me a better driver, makes me a better co-worker, makes me a better parent. We have to have each other's spiritual gifts. So whose gifts are they? They're all of ours. And even more than that, they're everyone's, because you never know. That's one of the extraordinary things about human interaction, no matter what, but especially about spiritual gifts. You never know where that influence is going to go. You don't know how your word of kindness affects someone, and how that's going to affect their words to their children. And you don't know where their children are going to end up. The ripples of our behavior just go on, it seems, forever. On our bad days, I suppose, that could paralyze us into inaction just because, well, the ripples of our behaviors go on forever, good and bad. We remember that we serve a loving God who has provided spiritual gifts for us, not just that we might feel better about ourselves, not just that the administration of the church work better. Administration's another spiritual gift, by the way. Making things work better than they would otherwise. No, spiritual gifts are given that this world, beginning with us as individuals, might become ever more what it was created to be. When we exercise our spiritual gifts, when we first of all admit that we have them, that we admit that we are worth the gift of the Holy Spirit in the form of this gift to us, and then when we exercise that gift, we become more and more the person we were created to be. And the more of that we do, the more the world becomes what it was created to be. I'm not preaching some kind of perfectionism in the sense that if we get this right, everything will work. It's not quite as simple as that. What I am saying is that to each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good, not for the good of this congregation, not for the good of my family, not for the good of this denomination, this country, but for the common good. Who knows? Who knows the ultimate outcome of your exercise of your spiritual gifts? No one but God. But we can be part of affecting the common good by exercising that gift that we've been given. Whose gifts? Everybody's gift. We all have them. We all benefit from them. And when we're together creating a community where spiritual gifts are valued and exercised, we become part of increasing the good in that common good. And what could be better than that? Especially when we realize that the spiritual gifts aren't these crazy things that we put on like a weird set of clothes. They're part of who we are. And when we exercise them, we are more ourselves. It's a wonderful win-win-win in every direction it can possibly be. And so this morning, I don't know what your spiritual gift is. I know what mine are, at least some of them. And this is one of them. And I exercise this gift that's been given to me to provide some insight into Scripture that perhaps has escaped your attention, or to confirm or encourage your own beliefs, whatever it might be for you this day, that all of us might move closer to God. That all of us might become more and more the people we were created to be, to make a difference in the world, to be about the business of God. It would be nice if we could do miracles like Jesus did. And some people are given that gift. It would be convenient if, when we ran out of things, whether it was wine or milk, to just turn whatever needed, take whatever was there and turn it into something else. But is it really that much different? When you exercise your spiritual gifts, you're in a very real sense doing the miraculous every bit as much as Jesus did. Different audience, perhaps. Different immediate outcomes. But Jesus did miracles not to show off. Jesus did miracles to demonstrate that God had come to earth and to provide a way for all of us to move into that relationship with God through Jesus to become the people we were created to be. That's what we do when we exercise these gifts. Whose gifts? Yours, mine, and everyone's. Amen.